Okay. Welcome to the Gita study again. We haven't done this for a few days, or actually 2 days, because we had Radhastami. And this morning we had a very big program, but I'll talk about that at the end so we can have more people online. Okay, so as we normally start, let's start with Jai Radhamadava. That's all right with everybody. Make sure my microphone's working. Yeah. You can all hear me. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi Jano Malaba kiri baradhati gopi janabalaba kiri baradhati Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yamuna tira Banachari, Yamuna Tira, Banachari, Jaya Radha Madhuva, Kunyabihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva, Kunyabihari, Gopi Janabalapa, Giribharat Hari. Gopi Janabalaba Giribaradhauri Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyabihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyabihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravitakacharya Also Tata Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Channana Bhaktivananda Gosami Mara Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai. Puren Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikovindana. Shai Makunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavadam ki jai, Maturam ki jai, Jagannathaswami ki jai, Yamunabai ki jai, Srimati Tulasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Okay. So, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschatate Shatari. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to continue with the Gita study. Now at the end of class, I'll talk about the initiation we had today, which is quite exciting, and I think it's a first in ISKCON. Those of you who saw it and who want to watch it, it is still available on Facebook, and I'm going to put an edited version, hopefully, on YouTube. So, we'll share the screen. We're continuing with our study of the 13th chapter, Joyer in Consciousness of the Bhagavad Gita, and we're starting with text today, text 8 in the 13th chapter. All right, here we go, text 8 to 12, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 5 verses in 1. All right. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsakshantirarjavam acharyopasanam chocham stairyam atmavinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankara hevacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha doshanudarshanam asaktiranabhishvanga putradara grahadishu Nityam cha samachittatvam ishtanishto papatishu mahi chananya yogena bhaktiravya vicharini vidiktadesha sevitam aratir jana samsadhi adhyatma jnana nityatvam tatva jnanartha darshanam etas jnanam iti proktam Ajnanam yad atonyata. All right, word by word synonyms. Amanitvam means humility. Adambitvam, pridelessness. Ahimsa, nonviolence. Shanti, tolerance. Arjavam, simplicity. Acharyopasanam, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Socham, cleanliness. Stairyam, steadfastness, atma vinigraha, self-control, indriya arteshu, in the matter of the senses, vairagyam, renunciation, anahankaraha, being without false egotism, or egoism, eva, certainly, cha, also, janma, of birth, mrityu, death, jara, old age, vyadi, and disease, dukkha, of the distress, dosha, the fault, anudarshan, of observing, asaktihi, being without attachment, Ana Bishvangaha, being without association, putra for son, dara wife, graha adishu, home, etc., nityam constant, cha also, sama chitatvam, equilibrium, ishta, the desirable, anishta, and undesirable, upapatishu, having obtained, mayi unto me, cha also, ananya yogena, by unalloyed devotional service, bhaktihi, devotion, avya vicharane, without any break, vivikta, to solitary, desha, places, sevitvam, aspiring, adatihi, being without attachment, jana, samsadhi, to people in general, adhyatma, pertaining to the self, jnana, and knowledge, nityatvam, constancy, tattva jnana, of knowledge of the truth, artha, for the object, darshanam, philosophy, etat, all this, jnanam, knowledge, iti, thus, proktam, declared, ajnanam, ignorance, yat, that which, ataha, from this, anyata, other. Long verse. Translation. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, women, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. Wow, an absolute statement. So, let's see, how are we going to go about this? Because we should touch upon each term. Let Prabhupada explain, and then we'll go into Prabhupada's explanation. This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. So in other words, these different endeavors mentioned before, mentioned in this verse, endeavors or states of consciousness mentioned in this verse, when they are actually dovetailed in Krishna's service, are not part of the interaction between the different modes of nature or between the 24 elements. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. Wow. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements. And the process of knowledge, as described here, is the means to get out of it. In other words, knowledge of the 24 elements doesn't help you get out of the 24 elements. You have to have knowledge of the 25th and 26th, that is the soul and the super soul, to get out of it. Right? Of all, let's see if I think of an example. If you have knowledge of water, everything that's in the water, it's not going to help you understand dry land. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Mayi cha nanya yogena bhaktir avyabhicharini. The process of knowledge culminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. That means unto Krishna, maya cha nanya. Any other thing other than bhakti. Mayi cha anya. Anya means without any other. Yogena. Only ananya. Only to Krishna. Without anything else. And then avyabhi charini. Unalloyed. Bhakti or devotional service. Okay. So if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, the other 19 items are of no particular value. In other words, they're simply on the mental plane. Mano retainasati davato bahi. There's no value to approach a spiritual master if you're not going to take up devotional service. There's no value to being humble if you're not, that humility is not in relationship to Krishna. But if one takes the devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. So they automatically develop and they have value. As Srila Prabhupada would often say, without Krishna consciousness, the world is a bunch of zeros. You can have 10 quadrillion zeros perfectly formed, but you will still have nothing. But if you take that one, that's Prabhupada's example, you take the one in front of all the zeros, then it has some value. And that one is Krishna. So that's the point. Everything you have in this world, everything you do in this world, is useless. Sorry about that. Why did he say, we say it's useless? Because it's temporary. For example, when I was young, I would go to the beach with my parents. And as a little kid, I would build sandcastles. I think everybody knows what a sandcastle is. I did other things at the beach, like buried myself to my neck in sand. You know, buried my friends up to the neck in sand. We had a lot of fun. So I build these sandcastles out of sand on the beach. And when you build sandcastles out of sand on the beach, near the water, guess what? The water comes up and washes away your sandcastle. You come back the next day, and it is gone. All you see is sand. So you can say, well, he had a good time. Yeah, I had a good time. But I didn't accomplish anything. What's the use of my sandcastle? In the same way, we are building so many sandcastles in our life. And all these sandcastles will be washed away by Krishna's time factor. Erosion. It's like we know what erosion is. Erosion is a process by which even a mountain can be, let's say, torn down over time, worn away by the action of the wind, by the action of the rain, by thunderstorms, everything like that over time. So that's erosion. So even a mountain is not permanent. What to speak of anything we may create in this world or any quality that we have. It's all temporary, isn't it? There's actually a song about that. Nothing is real. Strawberry fields forever. Anyway, I'm not going to start singing that song, but that's a song by the Beatles. So, yeah, it's like a soap bubble or a sandcastle. So many examples we can give. Of course, your sandcastle may last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, but then it's gone anyway. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth chapter, 5th canto, 18th chapter, text 12, and this is a verse that I oftentimes quote in this class, yes, yasti bhakti, or bhagavatya kinshana sarari guna stetra samasate sarah. All the good qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. Why do they develop in one? Because one is situated in Shuddha Sattva. What is Shuddha Sattva? Shuddha Sattva is the purified mode of goodness. And when you're in the purified mode of goodness, you're affected by the qualities of the purified mode of goodness. What are the qualities of the mode of goodness? Let's say in general mode of goodness is being peaceful, self-controlled, samadhamma. We talked about this today in our initiation lecture. Samadhamma tapakshocham, being peaceful, self-controlled, accepting everything favorable for spiritual advancement, rejecting everything unfavorable for spiritual advancement, cleanliness, and also turning off your wonderful mobile phone, cleanliness, studying, applying what you believe, or practicing what you preach, etc. like that. These are qualities of the mode of goodness. When you're in that mode, because we're affected by outside forces. That's true. We're not independent. There's outside subtle forces that affect us. The mode of ignorance. Just like I was talking to someone today, he said, you know, he was never a vegetarian, never ate meat until he came to America, and then he began to associate with his friends. And his friends said to him, what? Just try a little beer. And he thought, I'm just going to take a half a can of beer. And so he started in that way. So it starts in that particular way. You take a half, then you take a whole, and before you know it, you're drunk. I mean, what's the use of getting drunk? Why? Why would one want to get drunk? You may say, well, it relaxes one or whatever, it's a social drink. No, it covers one's consciousness by the mode of ignorance. And then you develop all sorts of bad qualities. Actually, Prabhupada said jokingly, a high-class man, when he's drunk, what does he do? Goes to sleep. And a low-class man, when he's drunk, he speaks all sorts of nonsense and actually may get violent too. So we want to associate with the transcendental mode of goodness, with Krishna, with Krishna's pure devotee, and their association is reflected off of our consciousness. Our consciousness is like a mirror. Sometimes the mind is described as a mirror. And we reflect whatever projects onto us. So that's why it's very important to have good association. The principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes a devotional service, it is most important. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. Wow. Wow. Before that is like purva, before, you know, preliminary. But when you actually accept a bona fide spiritual master, you're enrolling in Krishna's university and get your college credits to go back to home, back to Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. And Prabhupada speaks very, very strongly in this regard. I mean, in every regard, he's speaking strongly. I was just listening to a memory from the old days told by this devotee, Achyutananda. And he said that he was in New York with Prabhupada in the early days, 26 Second Avenue. And Prabhupada basically had no material facilities other than, you know, the 26 Second Avenue. They could hardly figure out how to pay the rent on the place. So basically he had no money, poverty stricken. And then, on the other hand, there were these other uptown swamis. Now, let me explain New York to you for for a few moments. New York, where Prabhupada was living, was not a high-class area. There was a bunch of hippies in that area, particularly where he was living before. In the Bowery was even worse. So, but uptown in New York means the Upper East Side, or the Upper West Side, where the rich and famous live. In fact, my mother lives on the Upper East Side of New York. Interesting. So, Prabhupada was not like the uptown swamis who had tons of dough. That means dough, means money. So they had tons of money because they would be saying things like, what, I'm okay, you're okay. Yato tat, like that. I'm okay, you're okay. I was with Prabhupada one time, and Prabhupada was commenting on that particular statement. Actually, there was a book in English, not written by a Swami, but by some sociologist or psychologist, called Transactional Analysis or Transactional Philosophy or Psychology. And the name of the book was I'm Okay, You're Okay. And Prabhupada said, we do not say I'm okay, you're okay. Prabhupada said, we say I'm okay, you are not okay. So anyway, getting back to the point, the Prabhupada didn't have any money at all, practically no facility, just a bunch of hippies who he was trying to somehow or other bring to Krishna consciousness. But still, Prabhupada would speak in a very strong way, a very strong way, without deviating from the philosophy, completely convinced in what he was saying, and not worried at all about money, followers, prestige, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what? Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam ba jagadisha kamayi. Not to be interested in wealth, followers, you know, beautiful people, whatever it is. And simply want Krishna's unalloyed devotional service. So Prabhupada's purity was shown by that. He never changed anything, adjusted the philosophy, or adjusted the name of our society, International Society of Krishna Consciousness, even though Prabhupada was advised to change it to something more generic, International Society for God Consciousness, International Society for Spirituality. That'd be ISS, which is actually a terrorist group right now. So anyway, so Prabhupada never changed anything, and Chujananda was remarking about how Prabhupada was just like so determined, so strong, and so convinced. And he was not at all tempted by these other personalities or the strategy that the other personalities were using to attract people. You know, Prabhupada was, if people didn't want to accept God, then that's their problem. Of course, Prabhupada was compassionate, but he wasn't willing to change anything. As for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others, but from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge who knows that he is not his body, anything honor or dishonor pertaining to the body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently, sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. In other words, by the items listed in this particular verse. That's how you judge whether you're free from desire for false prestige or prestige at all, or followers. And of course, that's what Prabhupada said. I mean, Lord Chaitanya said that, you know, manina manadena, isn't it? Free from all desire for prestige and ready to offer all respects to others. So let's see if I want to comment on that. Let's talk about humility, because that's often misunderstood. For example, someone may think that humility means to think less of oneself, and as I've often said, humility means to think of yourself less. There's a difference. To think less of yourself means to think of yourself a lot more, but in a negative way. And to think of yourself less, that means to not think of yourself so much. Depression, in many cases, I'm not saying every case because there's some physiological component. Depression, in many cases, is due to someone just like thinking of themselves. And the cure for, at least I'm not talking about physiological depression, the cure for depression is to think of Krishna's pleasure. That's all. How can one be depressed? Because you're not thinking about yourself. You're not any less of a person. You're part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna loves you, and you are meant to love Krishna. So, anyway, humility means better to be ready to do whatever Krishna wants. That's one aspect of humility, whatever the spiritual master asks, another aspect of humility. Another aspect is seeing yourself as a servant of other people and trying to make them Krishna conscious. Like when you go out, you try to bring people to Krishna consciousness. You shouldn't be thinking, I'm the master. I have so much wonderful knowledge, more than any of you creepos have. You should be thinking, I'm your servant. I'm just coming to you to reawaken your Krishna consciousness. This is my duty as your servant. Actually, an advanced devotee thinks like that. So, nonviolence, here's the next one. It's generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body, but actually nonviolence means not to put others into distress. Remember that. Anyway, sometimes people put me in distress by what they say. They're called the nagging nabods of negativity. Sometimes you find people just like, just looking for some fault. You know, even there's a tiny spot in the moon, they will find fault in the moon. For example, and this is Krishna's pastimes, so it's just like a funny example. Once upon a time, Krishna said to Srimati Radharani, your face is just like the moon. I mean, we all know the moon is beautiful, it's very brilliant. And she said, God, we're getting very angry, Krishna. What do you mean? You think my face has spots in it? So some people are like little mosquitoes. Mosquitoes. So mosquitoes, what do? Well, actually better than mosquitoes, sorry about that. Mosquitoes are looking for blood, which is bad enough. But flies, they look for dirty things and they land on them. Have you ever seen stool? They land on the stool and they can carry so many diseases. So many diseases. So we should not be like flies. We should see the good quality of people and encourage them and fan the spark. I mean, it's easy to find fault in almost anybody, if you really want to. And why should you do that? The idea is to encourage people in devotional service, not just simply be a professional fault finder. But we know people who like that. And there's people like that who interact with me. And it's just they want to talk some negativity about something I did or something I didn't do. And instead of giving me constructive suggestions. Anyway, so we have to, they're helping me become detached from this material world. That's the way I see it. Thank you for your fault finding, because this will actually help me advance in devotional service. So we don't think of these people as enemies, we think of these people like Queen Kunti thought of all the disturbances that were occurring to her. You know the story about Queen Kunti? So many problems she had to endure. So many threats against her son's lives. So many attempts to kill her. So many attempts to defame her daughter-in-law. Oh my God. And what did she do? She accepted them all as means to become further Krishna conscious. She said, in fact, she asked for more. I do not ask for more. There's plenty that come my way without asking for it. People in general are trapped by ignorance of the material conception of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. So unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so they become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is nonviolence. So in other words, if you encourage people to get further entangled in this world, if you entice people to enjoy further in this material world, you're being violent to them. Now, what does that mean? Like if you're a husband or a wife and you try to involve your spouse in something that will entangle them more in this world, you're being violent to them. Or if you want to get your children into something that will entangle them more in this material world, like you think, my children are really missing out because they don't know who Mickey Mouse is, or Donald Duck, or Minnie Mouse, or Goofy. Of course, hopefully none of you know who I'm talking about. These are cartoon characters. My children are really missing out on the real things in life. But those real things, in one sense, are violence. Just like myself, I was exposed to all these things when I was young. And they're still hovering around in this little brain of mine. Everything that I did when I was a child. And Prahlad Maharaj says, what does Prahlad Maharaj say? Komara Maturet Pragyo Padamam Bhagavatam Hiha. Durlabha Manasa Janma Tadap Dhruvamartadam. One should actually take up Krishna consciousness, which means avoiding bad association, from the very beginning of life. So the parents should protect the children, one may say, but they shouldn't protect, they should expose their children. And of course, that's the same philosophy a political leader has, who should remain nameless, saying that to develop herd immunity, we should expose everybody to the virus. And the people who die? That's called survival of the fittest. Darwinian theory, isn't it? Survival of the fittest, something that Adolf Hitler subscribed to, as well as other horrible personalities. Survival of the fittest. So it's not that we expose like innocent children to all these horrendous things, that we're actually committing violence by exposing them. It's like if you go into a hospital and there's a lot of disease in the hospital, whatever type of disease, forget about COVID right now. Sometimes they don't allow children in the hospital. Why? Because the children are more vulnerable. They say you have to be over 15 or 12 or whatever it is in the hospital. So shouldn't we do that with our children too? Protect them from unwanted exposure to the material violent, material virus? Why should we be violent? Why should we impede another living entity's progress? On the other hand, if we have the ability to help someone spiritually and we don't help them, then we're guilty not by doing something, but by neglect. So that's two types of guilt. Like if someone is suffering and you have the ability to help them, then you're guilty in one sense because you haven't helped them. Okay, so that's nonviolence. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. I'm definitely practicing that. If one is engaged in the advancement of spiritual knowledge, there will be so many insults and much dishonor from others. This is expected because material nature is so constituted. Like Prabhupada, he was insulted by his godbrothers. I mean, one of his godbrothers told one of Prabhupada's disciples, one of my godbrothers, that if you really want to meet a true, real guru, go to this other person, not Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was extremely angry when he heard this. But this is the nature of this world. That people are envious. People are envious. Like Prabhupada invited many of his godbrothers to join him. And even sometimes those godbrothers were confined in a poverty-stricken moth, but they didn't want to join. If they had joined Prabhupada, they would have experienced like opulence beyond their wildest dreams. And even Prabhupada went to one spiritualist, and I'm not going to mention who it is, it's not that important, but he's prominent member of our Sampradaya, not one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, but related somehow or other to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he said to him, "We will develop your place where you live and where you're worshiping and make it very, very opulent." And this person said to Prabhupada, "Only if you step down and I'm the acharya." So people have that consciousness in this material world. It's amazing. So we get insulted, especially with the internet. We get, or have the tendency to be insulted every day if you read some of the comments. Even a boy like Prahlad, who was only 5 years old, was engaged in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, was endangered when his father became antagonistic to his devotion. We all know that story. Aranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. The father tried to kill him in so many ways, but Prahlad tolerated him. So there may be many impediments to make an advancement in spiritual knowledge, but we should be tolerant to continue our progress with determination. Certainly Prahlad Maharaj epitomized that to the highest degree. No doubt about it. And even after Lord Nrsimhadev killed Prahlad Maharaj's father in order to protect Prahlad Maharaj was compassionate towards his father. He prayed to the Lord, "Please save my father." That's real tolerance. That's real compassion. You cannot be compassionate without being tolerant. In the Bhagavatam, it says, Tatikshava Karunika. That is the qualities of a sadhu, called sadhu bhushana, the ornaments of a sadhu. Tatikshava Karunika Sura Sarvadenam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana. This is very similar to what's being discussed here in the Gita. The first one is Tatikshava, tolerance, Karunika, because before you can be merciful, you have to be tolerant. Suhrida sarvadehinam, a friend to all living entities. These are the qualities of an advanced devotee. Ajata shatra, which means one does not have any enemies, which we're going to hear about in a second here in this purport. Shanta, one is peaceful. And these are some of the qualities of a great personality. So the next quality here is simplicity, means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth, even to an enemy. So we should not be putting on a facade. We should actually show and admit to others who we actually are, not pretend that we're some like great liberated soul coming down. And sometimes we even can't even tell the truth to ourselves. We're an illusion about ourselves. You know, we think that we're extremely advanced, ready to enter into our ras with Krishna, ready to understand our siddha deha. And this is a problem. And because we have that tendency to cheat ourselves, because you were talking about the cheating propensities, not only we cheat others, we cheat ourselves, then others can cheat us. And I'll give you an example. The example is that if you go to Radhakund, the holiest place in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you will find that there are many sadhus, babajis, it's not criticism of everyone, many sadhus and babajis who take advantage of the naive spiritual seekers and draw them in with the promise of telling them what their spiritual identity is, even though these people are far from able to understand anything about the spiritual identity. I've seen that we've lost some devotees, you know, sentimental people, but we've lost some devotees because they actually think they're more advanced than they are. Why do they think they're more advanced than they are? Many times because they have some material intelligence. As Queen Kunti also says, Janmaishwarya Shudasya Shivira Edamata Adapuman. One becomes bewildered by one's beauty, one's intelligence, one's family, and one's wealth. So people can become bewildered, and so they can be cheated. If you think more of yourself than is true, you can easily be cheated, you know. Just like a salesman can sell you a bunch of things you don't even need just by praising you. And many salesmen do that. So anyway, so the devotees sometimes, immature, naive, devotees without a proper understanding of who they actually are, go to Radhakund, and some of the Babaji say to them, yeah, I can tell you who you are in the spiritual world. And not only that, I will tell you something called the Ekadasa Bhava, all the 11 aspects of your personality. How about that? That'd be nice. So you dress in a certain way, your name is such and such, you're a gopi. You know, everybody gets to be a gopi. I guess there wouldn't be anyone else in the spiritual world. Everybody, so anyway, you're a gopi, this is your color, your sari, your husband's name, and you do this with Krishna's flute. Okay, so once upon a time, a lot of devotees went to this one personality, and he did that. He gave them Siddha Pranali, it's called. And there are several devotees. And so they're all thinking, oh, now I realize what my spiritual identity is. Sure thing, you have. So then, two friends started to talk to each other about what their spiritual identity was. And one said, you know, I have this type of dress. This is my name in the spiritual world. This is my husband. This is my whatever, whatever. And the other one said, hey, it's me. And then they turned around and asked their other friends, and they found out that everybody had that same identity, and this guy was just taking money and cheating them. So that happens, because they were very proud. And they say pride goes before the fall, because when you're proud, people can manipulate you, take things away. If you're humble, and you just understand you're a servant of the spiritual master, nobody can touch you. You understand my identity is just Jivara Surupahoinicha Krishna Dasar, Gopi Bharta Padakamala, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Nobody can touch you, but if you think you're the cat's meow, the dog's bark, I know I'm giving that example, or, you know, man's gift to the world, then, you know, watch out. You know, you can be taken advantage of very, very easily. So just identify yourself as a servant of the spiritual master. You know, whoever I am. Not that important. I just want to serve Prabhupada. Okay? So that means, that simplicity. Reveal the real truth to yourself first. And don't hide it from others. I mean, you don't have to tell everyone your bank account details. But if you know, if you're not Krishna conscious, don't go up with your nose on high telling everybody about your spiritual realizations, when at the same time you're subject to the anarthas. Yes, I have realized I'm a gopi. And I hate this person. I hate that person. And I'm bewildered half the time. And I have trouble with lust. You know, if you say that, I'm not speaking for myself, obviously. But if you say that, it's just like, wow, it's a contradiction. How can a gopi have all those problems? It bewilders me. So just come down to earth. Take a land, you know, come to a landing. Right? Earth, this is so-and-so devotee. Permission to land. So land. Okay, we'll continue. As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential, because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. Why not? Because we have imperfect senses, tendency to cheat, and we're illusion, and we do make mistakes. If you're not going to admit that, you are puffed up. You're proud. If you don't admit that you make mistakes, you have a tendency to cheat yourself and others, you have imperfect senses, and you're bewildered. In illusion. then you're not ready to actually surrender to Krishna. You have to cultivate humility. Chunadapi sunichena thurari vasihishnana amanina manadena kirtiniya sadari. Thinking yourself lower than the straw in the street, devoid of all sense, desire for false prestige and respect. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So it says, one should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services so he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. How are the blessings bestowed? By sound vibration, because the sound pierces into the heart. That's how the vibration is. It's not some like magical blessings. You know, boo! Give me the Brahman realization. Let me see Krishna Guru Maharaj. Okay. Now you see Krishna. It's not like that. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulated principles. So this is an exceptional case. It's called Kripa Siddhi. You understand? There is, don't think that's you. Gurudev, give me your blessings. So even if I don't follow, we're not talking about the four regulated principles anyway. But let's say there's some extreme preaching, and for somehow or other, because that extreme preaching demands extraordinary efforts or arrangements, you have to arrange that someone gets meat, not you, then you have to see if that pleases the spiritual master. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur one time had to arrange some meat for English gentlemen so that they would be able to feel comfortable visiting the holy Dham. So that's means not following regulated principles. Not that a devotee doesn't follow the regulated principles, it's sometimes. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to roll cigarettes or beedis, as they say, for some of his workers, just that they would construct the temple quicker. And that's the problem with workers. You have to understand, Shudras are Shudras. You're not going to be able to stop them from smoking and doing all these other nonsense, crazy things. Just like we have construction going on here, you know, I try to tell our workers, please do not smoke. They can't. They can't stop. And so you may say, you know, oh, Maharaj, you know, some of the disciples have actually said, Guru Maharaj, how can you allow this? Well, you find me some construction people who are clean vegetarians and everything like that, and you may find some people who don't want to work either. Or, Prabhupada says, the regulated principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without a reservation. One gets a taste. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness means take a bath. And actually, Prabhupada emphasized this. He said we should be revolutionary clean in the Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada in the beginning days made us wash our hands, our mouth, and our feet before and after eating. Actually, that's the Vedic system. And as I mentioned to the devotees this morning, that sometimes even the devotees were going up to the hand-washing sink, standing on one foot, putting one foot into the sink, and then going on, standing on the other foot and putting that foot into the sink and washing their feet in the same sink that everybody was washing their hands and mouth. Yuck. So you have to be practical too. But in the Vedic system, you do that. Before you enter the temple, you wash your feet. Even in some temples like the Tirupati temple, Tirumala, they have water running on the floor, circulating or whatever it is. There's a lot of water running on the floor that cleans your feet just by walking on the paths to see the deities. But for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna always and chant, what? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This process cleans the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind. And of course, there's that verse that we always recite at the fire sacrifice. Om Pavitra Pavitra Vas Sarva Vashtang Gatopiva Yaksmaret Pundurikaksham Savaya Avyantara Shuchihi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu, which means whatever one's background is, if one remembers the lotus-eyed Lord, that's Pundarikaksha, means the Lord who has lotus eyes, then one will be purified. One will be clean. The whole point is to remember Krishna, and as we mentioned before, never to forget Krishna. So I think we should end now, and tomorrow we'll start reading about steadiness. Alrighty. We didn't get very far, but that's life when studying the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, now I want to mention a few things, and we're going to make sure we end by 7, because I have, by 6, sorry, 6 our time, because I have to give some of the devotees in New Zealand their Gayatri mantras, because we had initiation this morning. Just want to mention this morning, we had a very unique and extremely unique, oh, it's that light, that's the sun. Here comes the sun. So we had a very unique ceremony. A unique means that the ceremony was an initiation ceremony, but we had devotees sitting either in the temple or in their home from many different countries, many different continents even. So we had devotees here, of course, in North America. Generally, they were here in Hillsborough, North Carolina. The temple was too full. For safety's sake, but anyway, we survived. And then we had devotees in India, devotees in New Zealand, devotees in Fiji, devotees in different places in Australia, at least 2 different places in Australia, taking first and second initiation. And it was amazing. Let's see how many devotees we have. Let's go over the list together. All together. It, and we had devotees from other gurus also participating in the fire sacrifice. There's 1, 2, 3, and 8, 20 people altogether, including those in other countries, participating with us. It was actually a very, very inspiring, unique, trend-setting, anyway, something that was never done in ISKCON before. And it was very blissful, too. All the devotees who were there enjoyed it very much. So, because this is the coronavirus time, CV, coronavirus time, and we can't stop spreading our movement just because we have to stay in one place or other people can't travel or other people are locked up in their homes. So they were able to participate in our fire sacrifice, even though they were half the world away by the miracle of modern technology. It was actually amazing, wonderful, ecstatic, whatever experience. So anybody have any questions before we end? You got a few minutes before we end. You can ask questions. Does anybody have questions? Sumok?
Yes, okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. Gurudev, is a small question. To remain in mode of pure goodness, what are the things we have to keep in mind so we don't fall back again?
Well, the first thing you keep in mind is don't associate with anyone or anything that's in a mode of ignorance. You know, if you want to remain clean, what's the first point in remaining clean? Don't roll around in the mud. So that is a very first thing. You know, stop going to karaoke clubs at night. Okay? You can do that.
No.
I know.
I don't go.
I know I'm teasing you. Speak. Run away if you hear a devotee being criticized. Don't think critically of another devotee. Always give them the benefit of the doubt. So these are all negative things, but you know, that's to avoid having the heart become dirty. And then positively, Hear Krishna Katha on a regular basis, chant your rounds nicely, serve the devotees, serve the deities as you're doing in the Supa temple there. Okay. Just a regular process of devotional service. I don't have any secrets other than that. Mm-hmm. And take prasadam, but don't eat too much.
Okay.
Don't eat too many sweets. You didn't like that one. That one you didn't like. Because you eat too much sweet, too much or too many sweets, it puts the mind either in the mode of passion or ignorance. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam. You know that verse.
Yes.
Okay. Now that I gave you an answer you didn't like, let's go to someone else. Someone else should ask a question. Anyone else? Oh, no one else. People are so shy tonight. People are so shy. Oh my God. I think
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Oh, bye-bye Chaitanya.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Chaitanya, he was just initiated today. Congratulations.
Thank you, Maharaj. And thank you for... Thank you, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay,
I'm just amazed at Maharaj, how you are able to keep all those technologies going last night, and it worked without a glitch. They're just amazing. And we were all commenting here how wonderfully you do that. You really utilize technology and electronics in Krishna's service. That's amazing.
Thank you very much. Yeah, actually, I had to plan for it beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, the day before I had to set everything up. So, but
yeah,
I feel it's very important to reach the maximum amount of people. And so in today's world, that's the only means I can find. And of course, that's my background is actually in technology. I mean, my education is in technology, engineering, and physics. So I was using a computer when a computer was as big as a giant building.
Yes.
So anyway, so it shows that anything could be used in Krishna's service. And just like right now, we're using all this technology. We have a microphone here, and I have a camera that moves wherever I go. So this is for preaching Krishna consciousness. It's not that I have someone, a little man behind the camera. This is all technology.
No. Initially, when I saw you do that, I thought there was a man behind the camera.
No, there's no one. It actually even can zoom in on me.
It's amazing.
It's supposed to zoom in on me. Anyway, so, yes, we should use these things in Krishna's service. And the proof that it's useful is that so many people are coming to Krishna consciousness. Like you see, many of the devotees who were initiated today, the Western devotees, I cultivated them using technology. I would talk to them. They weren't here before, and they were in other places, so I would communicate with them using video calls. So in this way, our movement can spread dynamically, and especially in these COVID times, people are locked up in their homes, at least in America, not so much in Australia right now, but in... except in Victoria, people. Actually, I can't hear you. You're on mute again.
Oh, sorry, Maharaj. Yeah, and I was going to say Sydney is not that bad, but Victoria is still pretty much in lockdown at the moment. So, yeah.
New Zealand is also in lockdown right now.
Yes, level 3. That's right. They had some bad cases. But it's amazing keeping in touch with technology. It's, you know, and you can still, I think we're doing probably more of this Krishna conscious meetings than we probably were without COVID.
Yeah, I'm meeting more people. I'm speaking more about Krishna than I ever have basically my whole life.
That's great.
Talking to friends. I mean, even when I get off here, I'm going to be talking to some devotees. And it's amazing. I mean, one also has to be careful about getting overburdened
yeah.
with technology. because people will take advantage and then they'll send so many comments and letters and everything like that. Like I'm getting so many letters and comments every day. So one has to adjust their way of communicating. For example, when we had letters, someone would send a letter, you would write a long letter in response and put it in the post office box and everything like that. But nowadays, when I respond to someone on email, I just use a cut and paste without any of the, you know, the niceties there in general.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll use the niceties like, please accept my blessings, like that. But in general, it's just cut and paste. So one has to adjust their style of communication.
Yes, but it's amazing how, Maharaj, you're still able to respond to, and you're so approachable. We were just talking with Vijay Kopigesh Prabhu this morning, and he was remarking how approachable and how responsive you are, even with such a busy lifestyle. Whenever we write to you, there's always a response back, and it's often quite prompt as well.
Yeah, I guess it's because I care about people. It's not just the technologies when you're actually concerned.
No, right. Yeah.
Care about people. So, and I like to do it. It's not that it's torture or anything. It's actually according to my psychophysical nature, and I like to do it. I mean, just like on here, you'll find there's another devotee up there on my screen right above you. His name is Adi Purusha. He sends me like several letters. He says this is just a short question. And he has several short questions a day that are pretty long and involved as far as philosophical research.
Nice.
He always prefaces his letter with, this is a short question. So, anyway, it's nice. I enjoy this, and Krishna is happy that we're reaching out.
Yeah. Around. We are very blessed, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations, and I hope your family's happy with your initiation.
Yes, they're very happy and very supportive and all full of good wishes. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Very nice. All right, thank you. I think we're going to end now because I have some people I have to communicate with right afterwards about the initiation today and getting some mantras and things like that. So thank you all for joining us. I think it'll be tomorrow, same time, same station. And we're going to continue with the study of the same purport. If that's all right. Okay. All glories to His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.